If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, 2A Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Several of you probably turned on the radio about an hour ago to hear 2A Radio at its time. It's been on since March of 09. And I'm an hour later. Thank you, Lord. I am on an hour later. Guys, I am on the Pacific Coast. I'm on the West Coast. So I have been getting up for the last better part of a year and a half at 6 o'clock in the morning to come in here and do a show from 7 to 8 in the morning, my time. And when this time slot opened up, I immediately went for the jugular and asked to have this time slot. And within about 3 hours of me requesting it, it got approved. So that was a godsend. Thank you, John Stattmiller, for allowing me to get an extra hour's sleep today. In fact, it was about 45 minutes. I woke up before my alarm. It was great. So anyhow, I am here. My new time slot, I'm digging it. I actually have a couple of new bumpers coming for it that I'll be putting together in the next, I don't know, week or so when I get the voiceover tracks done. Anyhow, I want to thank one of our good, solid listeners, a huge RBN supporter, and a restaurateur out of Chicago by the name of Joe Rose Papa. Joe actually sent a couple of gifts to the studio here in Nevada to Dave Champion and myself, the Avid Design Gun Tool. And this is kind of like a Leatherman slash Swiss Army knife sort of deal that is all set up for being a gun tool. It's 18 tools in one, and it is there for just about everything that you would need for an out in the field get or done sort of a toolkit for the vast majority of guns that are out there. And this thing is just plain awesome. It is cool as can be. And Joe, thank you so much for this. Joe's actually helped out with several things, in fact, in Chicago, helping to get America's Victory Shoot moving. There's some bad news when it comes to America's Victory Shoot. Of all of the national organizational sponsors that you see on the home shoot at victoryshoot.org, that you see on the home page there, only two or three of them have actually sent out the information that they were requested to 2 weeks ago when the decision came out 2 weeks ago today. The vast majority of those organizational sponsors have not sent out anything and have literally fallen on their butts. So it is my responsibility to stay on their butts to try to get them to get these things out. But at this point in time, I'm not even getting return messages from a lot of these groups. So there might be a dramatically different face on America's Victory Shoot coming up in the next week or so when it comes to all of those sponsors. And we're really moving into kind of a regional area. I know that there is an affiliate that's rebroadcast RBN up in Indiana, northern Indiana. So I would like to promote AVS there, get everybody to come out to America's Victory Shoot. Go to victoryshoot.org and check it out. Guys, stay tuned. I'm excited. I'm in my new time slot. I'll be back right after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. We'll be right back.
Excuse me. First Amendment. Son, the First Amendment protects you from the government, not from me. You can say whatever you want to out there. You come within reach of me, I'll exercise my right to give you a good old country ass whooping. Well, I'll do that. By God.
Two-way radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Now, the state of California is number one on the Brady campaign to completely hose everybody on planet Earth out of their right to own a gun. I believe that's their official name. Brady campaign lists the state of California as number one on their list for progressive, sensible gun laws. Now, progressive means completely leftist commie. Sensible means absolutely the opposite of common sense. There's no such sensible. Shall not be infringed, so there is no sense to any gun laws. So, anti-gun laws. So, the state of California, by sheer numbers, has more blood on their hands due to gun control than any other state in the union. Now, the deaths attributed to these anti-gun laws and then allowing guns to be in the hands of criminals is tragically long. Here's just a few highlights, just a mere few highlights. 5 children killed at Cleveland Elementary School in Stockton, California in 1989. 9 dead at the 101 California Street in San Francisco in 1983. 19 wounded in the North Hollywood shootout in 1997. Remember that? February 20th, 97. 4 Oakland police officers shot dead just last year. Right? We talked about that here on the show. There's been thousands of others that have died needlessly. But of course, those attracted very little attention. Because, as I said, no state has shed more blood because of gun violence than California. So what do? They pass anti-gun laws, blaming the gun itself. Some hypocrite up in Seattle is calling for stricter gun control in Tacoma because a guy up there grabbed a gun and committed suicide with it. So now guns need to be more restrictive, so people can't kill themselves by way of a handgun. Now, what sort of weird system is this? If somebody is suicidal and they've made the decision, they're just going to go out. They're going to take themselves out. A gun just happens to be kind of an easier way to do it for most. Otherwise, it's a bunch of sleeping pills. It's drinking yourself to death over a long period of time. A lot of times it's pills. Up in Seattle, you could drown. Cliffs, driving your car into oncoming traffic of a big truck. There's all kinds of ways to take yourself out. A gun just seems to be fairly simple. So this jack wagon up in Tacoma, Ryder, decides, well, we need to have more strict laws on guns because somebody shot and killed themselves. This guy was also suffering from PTSD as an Afghani war veteran. Didn't have anything to do with the gun. Had to do with his mental state. So rather than trying to help out the mental state of our veterans, of our war heroes, we need to ban guns, according to that jackwagon. All right. No state has done more to combat carnage than the state of California. In the past 20 years, California lawmakers, they've restricted sales of all kinds of things they would call assault weapons and cheap handguns commonly used in crimes. It's the cheap handguns commonly used in crimes, not the what they would call an assault weapon. It's a sport utility rifle. They've limited buyers to no more than one gun a month, barred people convicted of violent misdemeanors from owning firearms, raised processing fees, and done a whole lot more. Some of those laws were, of course, placebos, intended to make everyone feel better, but not all of them. Despite gun advocates' claim to the contrary, the effect has had an impact. Now listen to this. Although California has far too much violent crime, gun-related deaths have declined at a greater rate here than at the rest of the nation. Now, this is another lefty news report that I'm reading to you. Do we really want to gamble that it's coincidence? Last week's Supreme Court ruling in Time could leave us with no choice. Politicians in Nevada, Arizona, Texas, and most other states are in the thralls of the pro-gun lobby. Barack Obama himself made a point of proclaiming his feelings for the Second Amendment in his 2008 campaign. Yeah, but he lied like everything else. I mean, he's lied. Certainly California has its share of skittish politicians and true believers. But just as California has invoked state powers to curb tobacco use and clean the environment and allow marijuana to just about everybody who walks the streets, the state's gun control efforts have set us apart from the rest of the nation. Of course they have. Now, Dr. Garen Wintemute of UC Davis Medical School, professor there, began studying gun violence 28 years ago when he was an emergency room physician at Woodland Memorial Hospital and saw gun violence for what it was, a public health issue. You can see where this lefty is going. Like other epidemics, he's among the nation's leading researchers on public health aspects of gun violence. Wintemute's research on Los Angeles area factories and manufactured cheap handguns was instrumental in leading the state legislation banning these weapons. Blah, 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 blah. Now, I have to tell you that, in fact, there's a problem with the First Amendment when it comes to public health issues, because far too often, people run their mouths and get beat up for it. So if they're going to run their mouths and get beat up, then maybe we should restrict their First Amendment rights. What do you think about that, Mr. Lefty Anti-Gun Article Writer? This bud's for you, Mr. Lefty Anti-Gun Article Writer. You stink. So, yeah, you believe that everything has to do with violence. All the violence is caused by the instrument, not by the people that have it. You know, the old expression, guns don't kill people, people kill people. Well, in fact, that's not actually true either. Guns don't kill people, bullets kill people. And that's really the way it is. I mean, it's true, isn't it? Guns don't kill people, bullets do. A guy by the name of Tim Giles writes a quick little piece I want to read to you. It was a response to some anti-gun writer by the name of Maloney. And he says, I have a right to carry something to defend myself on my property. He says, Mr. Maloney, I agree with your opinion, but a concealed carry permit is not needed by law-abiding citizens. The Second Amendment states, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Any law that will restrict my rights to defend myself and my property regarding my rights to bear arms is unconstitutional. Hear ye, it is. My right, which comes from God, to defend myself, my family, and my property cannot be infringed by any law. It is guaranteed by the Constitution. We as Americans, free men, have unalienable rights, a gift from our Creator, to defend ourselves and our property. Every law that is written to restrict your right to defend yourself and property is case law, a liberal belief, and is not constitutional. Constitutional law is the law of the land, which is a conservative belief. So, a concealed carry permit or any other law that infringes on my right to defend myself or property is unconstitutional. A law is an infringement of my God-given rights. I have a right to carry without a permit, whatever and wherever I choose to defend myself or property. Deal with it, liberals. I love it. I absolutely love it. Same thing I've been crowing for the longest time. Inalienable rights are granted upon you at the time of your creation. Now, if you abuse those rights and cause undue pain and suffering on the rest of the people who also enjoy these sorts of rights, then many of your rights are going to be restricted because you can't seem to play well and be respective of others. So the rest of us will combine to start restricting your rights because you're a scumbag. Now, the difference between inalienable rights and civil rights is this: judicial process. Inalienable rights are endowed by your Creator, and when you're born, they're yours. If you have civil rights, hence the 14th Amendment, you have judicial process, legislative process, due process, governing any rights that you may enjoy. Can be governed in, can be governed away. The original class of citizen is the class of citizen that enjoys inalienable rights. This 14th Amendment is a real piece of junk. The first section of the 14th Amendment. Anyhow, I really appreciate this guy's letter to Mr. Maloney. Anyhow, guys, stay tuned. There's more to come. We're wrapping this whole thing together as we carry on throughout the show. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here in the new hour of 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check, which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now, forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Welcome back, everyone. I want to let you know there are some new federally mandated tests that you're going to have to take in order to buy a newspaper. And you're also going to have to take religion classes before you're allowed to attend churches. Now, if you already buy newspapers, you are not grandfathered in. You're going to have to go through literacy tests. And if you already practice your religion, you're still going to have to go to government-mandated religion classes before you can go back. Now, the Democrats might be right. It's obvious that Americans have become a very stupid group of people. Our schools have they've just disgorged students who have fallen to the bottom of the barrel in literacy, math, and science scores. And late-night comedians have no lack for citizens on the street that have no clue about law or history. And as voters, we've been stupid enough to elect people like James Traficant, John Edwards, Robert KKK Byrd, Benedict Arlen Specter over and over again, Pete Stark, and for that matter, Jimmy Carter and Obama. We need help. And what better entity than the government to rescue us? So we need some new rules so that Americans can be better controlled. Now, I've got some great ideas from Richard King Daley, Mayor of Chicago, who has decided in his newest stab at gun control, we need to institute mandated firearms training classes for every Chicago gun owner, as well as costly yearly annual licensing fees. This is a brilliant idea. So much so, I think we can expand on this idea in order to have a better, more orderly society. Plainly, Daley and his Democrat cohorts need to implement these training mandates on a wider basis. Not only will we have a better trained citizenry, but we'll have billions of dollars flowing through the treasury from the high fees that such classes must invariably entail. Any jobs? Why think of how many jobs will be created by these new policies? Well, we'll need millions of low-level perfunctory clerks, classroom instructors, and paper pushers to get all of this stuff off the ground. And what could be better than more education and more money in the form of hidden taxes going to fill the pockets of government officials? So since we've already decided that citizens observing their constitutional rights will be forced to pay expensive fees and take costly classes to own a gun, we need to look elsewhere to see where this idea can work as well as it does for the Second Amendment. How about the First Amendment? Sensible new media control laws would mandate that newspapermen must take literacy and writing classes in order to work at a newspaper. Not only that, but newspaper buyers should be held to one paper a month. After all, the idea and those papers are very, very dangerous, and being exposed to too many ideas is not good for the safety and comfort of government officials. As to religion, heck, what other idea has been as dangerous as that? Therefore, we need government classes to train anyone that wants to go to church. We also need to thoroughly license ministers and pastors. These people need to be answerable fully to the government for every thought that they and every one of their uttered words. After all, religion can be very dangerous, right? The government has a vested interest in making sure that a religion control makes things safe for police and firemen when they go into homes of churchgoers. And protest marches have been well known to be a hotbed of subversive activity. It is obvious that anyone that should ever want to attend a protest of any kind must take government classes to train them how to best observe their God-given rights to offer redress to government. And those that organize protests need to be licensed too. Also, no organizer should be allowed to live in any sizable city. It's for your safety. You got it? Now, I know that that voting isn't necessarily right, but we do need more controls on it. So no one should be allowed to vote unless they get a license and attend voting literacy classes every year to better train them for the ballot box. I can't see this being too expensive. Maybe classes for, I don't know, $100 a session and a voting license costing $50 for each general election. Now that's not really bad, is it? Yes, I see a host of rights that government can make money off of in the best Chicago way. And this is a gold mine that is yet to be tapped. Congressional Democrats have had a wonderful knack of naming new laws in an Orwellian fashion of late. We have the Employee Free Choice Act that squelches free speech, or the Disclosure Act that doesn't require as much disclosure for some folks as it does for others. We've had the Freedom of Choice Act that excludes the choice of living for a baby. Well, we can call this new idea the BEST Act. This would be the Bill for Enforcing Societal Training Act. I mean, that's what's best for all of us, right? Mayor Richard "The King" Daley and the Democrat Party are genius. My hat is off to him. It really is. Now, the foregoing was a piece written by an op-ed journalist, published in Chicago. Couldn't agree with them more. We really need to start regulating everything else, right? If we're going to allow them to regulate the guns, why aren't they regulating everything else? It's like reverse discrimination. It's like reverse racism. Stay tuned, guys. Plenty more to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, in my new hour right here on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back, everybody. Calling in on because of the last segment dealing with the First Amendment issues, we have Lee from Georgia on line one. Lee, welcome to 2A Radio.
Good morning, Mr. Carnes.
How the heck are you, Lee? How was your weekend?
Oh, you got me fired up, brother. You got me fired up.
Tell me about it.
Oh, Lordy. Well, let me go back in here. I'm live with, I'm the fella with the show, and my listeners are really, really, really fired up on this one. I'm pulling up this document right here. Okay, here we go. Oops, nope, wrong document. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right to the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government of a redress of grievance. Now, what I want to know is just how stupid do these people think the American people are?
Well, evidently they must think we're really stupid because we elected Barack Obama. You tell me, Lee, how stupid is the American public? As a whole, I would say we've never had a stupider society in our entire existence as a nation. As individuals, I believe we have some of the most brilliant minds we've ever had throughout history. But I think when we add everything together and divide by 310 million, we're about as stupid as we could possibly be. Look at the people we keep putting back into Congress. We have a 96% return rate, but yet we have a 23% approval rate? Why are we so dumb?
Yeah, go figure. And you know, I as I was hearing you, because, I mean, I was sitting here, and I was chatting with my listeners, and all of a sudden I heard you say this about having to take a religion course so we could go to church. We have to take a literacy course so we can buy a newspaper. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. We got congressmen who think Guam is going to tip over if we put too many people on it?
Yeah.
And they want us to take a literacy test?
Well, no. That was an opinion piece written in a Chicago paper. Now, what I've got to say is this. We already have First Amendment abridgments when it comes to this whole Disclosure Act. We can't just go there and disclose information about what's happening in D.C., who's voting for what, how things are going. I mean, it's really ridiculous. That passed the House. Of course, hopefully we'll hold it up in the Senate. But I've got to tell you, I absolutely believe, Lee, that the most dangerous time that America has ever seen is yet to come. And it is going to be a roughly 64, 65-day window. And that's going to be between the November elections, when the Democrats have their backsides handed to them, and January, when all of the new, fresh faces make it into both houses of Congress. I believe that 2 months' worth of time is going to be the most dangerous time in our entire American history, where we're going to go so far down that the next several months are going to have to be working incredibly hard to unring that 2 month bell, which is going to be really loud and really clear about socialism and straight down the tube.
I agree. And, you know, I agree with you also, Mr. Carnes. I think the American people have become so ignorant that they can't see the forest for the trees. They cannot see what's staring them right in the face. And no matter how much you scream and holler and show them the truth, they refuse to see it. And I don't know what it's going to take, and I agree. I think between the November elections and I hadn't thought about it until you just mentioned it. I agree. I think between the November elections and that first 2 months of the year of 2011, we are going to see major turmoil, and what I'm afraid is this is going to be the catalyst that will tear this country in half.
You know what would actually stop all of that from happening? Is the exercising of the Second Amendment rights to where the militia is called out to keep potential internal enemies, because we protect the Constitution from enemies both foreign and domestic. These would be potential domestic terrorists in their passing unconstitutional and anti-American laws. And to call out the militia to ensure that we don't have any internal domestic enemies working toward that end would keep it from happening. Do you really think it's going to happen? Not in D.C., it's not. I don't think D.C. even has a militia, partly because it's a federal territory.
Yeah, I agree. Also, something I got thinking the other day, too. Could you imagine? We have 300 million people in this country. Now, I hesitate to say how many, what percentage of that number are actually truly hang on the Constitution and really understand it and believe it.
There's 168 of us.
Okay. Could you imagine if just 10% of those people were to converge on Washington and all of the congressmen the governors of each state would actually invoke their authority and their power and pull the National Guard immediately to defend their individual states, along with the understanding that, like here in Georgia, where I'm from, South Carolina, if they come in, we got you back. Alabama, if they come in, we got you back. Tennessee, if they come in, we got you back. And, of course, now Florida would have to have, like, a couple other states be willing because they don't have any other border states except for Alabama and Georgia. But if every congressman would activate his National Guard immediately and declare that we are now ready to defend our nation against these tyrants, and 10% of the American people who were willing to do it, who actually believe in freedom, would converge on Washington and lay siege to Capitol Hill, how long do you think it would take before we could turn this country around?
10% could easily do it, because in the words of Samuel Adams, he said it does not require a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, timeless minority keen to set brush fires in people's minds.
Exactly.
Now, not only does he have an excellent beer, I mean, the guy knew what he was talking about. And on top of that, we had just 3% during the Revolutionary War when we kicked British rule off of our continent.
Yeah, we were heavily outmanned, heavily outgunned. Everything was gone. George Washington lost virtually every single battle he fought. And people don't understand this. They like, oh yeah, we won. Yeah, but what you don't realize is Washington lost virtually every battle he fought. But you know what won that war for independence?
It was endurance. They outendured
the British, and it's all about who can endure the longest.
Well, and who actually had a vested interest in winning? The soldiers didn't have a vested, they had a reputation they wanted to uphold. But the vested interests lie in the people who actually occupied the lands and that this entire continent. That's who had the vested interest. You know thy enemy. They knew the British soldiers. The British soldiers did not know and did not understand what it was that the colonists were there to fight about. They just thought that it was a rebellion. And they lost Sun Tzu's art of war when it comes to knowing thy enemy.
Right.
Now,
and
here,
you know, when I think about this, and then I remember something my grandfather told me when I was little, when he talked about being backed into a corner. You take a little mouse, and out in the field, that little mouse will run and scurry to get away from anything it feels to pose a threat. But you back that little mouse into a corner, and he's going to come out of that corner. And when he comes out of that corner, he's going to have the biggest mouth you've ever seen on such a little critter. And the American people are like a bunch of little mice running scared right now. And what's going to happen if we get backed into a corner? The most dangerous animal is a wild animal that's been caged.
You know what, Lee? You are absolutely speaking the gospel. And here's the deal. I have said for months, what we've got is we've got a government system. In this case, it's a federal government system that is doing all sort of law passing and then subverting the law through executive orders and undue appointments out of the Oval Office. And what they're doing is they're backing the American people into a corner to where, once they get backed into the corner, one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to gently place the cage over and around us, and then our masters will be on the outside as we're caged in, or it's going to get to a point where enough of us are going to balk and rebel. And I have to tell you, I believe it's going to be the balk and rebel, and this is why. How many times since 9/11 has there been a hijacking in on an American airliner in American airspace? Never, which is absolutely unheard of for this period of time, because people know what happened last time we had the news that things were hijacked. Now, whether they were hijacked or not, it isn't really pertinent to the story. The thing is, everybody believes that these planes were hijacked. So what do they do now? Everybody on the plane gets up and absolutely overwhelms the outnumbered minority who would otherwise do us harm, which is essentially what we've got in D.C. Are you still with me, Lee?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I have another thing.
I was just listening to what you were saying, and you're absolutely right. But, you know, I honestly believe in my heart of hearts, too, that those four planes on September 11th, it wouldn't have gone down like that if people in our own government and within our own security agencies hadn't been corrupt and played a part in it. And I honestly believe that.
Well, and that's a discussion to have when we do the September 11th show. I want to stay on topic. Here's another thing, and this really comes down to things such as the Disclosure Act and the the Firearms Freedom Act from back in 98, I'm sorry, the Gun Owners Protection Act back in 86, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Political language is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable, and to give the appearance of solidity to pure wind. Now, George Orwell uttered those words, and I couldn't agree more. There is nothing like the Patriot Act. No, it's the Subversive Government Action Act. It is not the Disclosure Act. It is the anti-First Amendment so that we can do whatever we want in Washington and not have the whistle get blown on us act. Did you know, Lee, that back in the 1912, the Supreme Court ruled that it was unconstitutional for Congress to pass any legislation that exempted them from the legislation in which they were considering and passing. This ruling is nearly 100 years old, but they still today look at Obamacare, which is unconstitutional to begin with.
They're exempt.
And on top of that, they exempted themselves.
Yep.
And the Supreme Court ruled nearly 100 years ago, you can't do that. What do we do? Do we have to give armed henchmen to the Supreme Court in order to go out and only affect their rulings against the legislative and executive branches? I mean, how do we handle this? I'll tell you how we handle it. We handle it by having a strong constitution that says, we the people, in the beginning, and somewhere in there it says, once we get tired of the form of government we've got, we can either redress them for grievances or we can do away with what we've got. And we moved from a republic to a democracy, which is the worst thing we could have done. I believe it was the 17th Amendment that took us to direct elections for senators, which is a total waste of our time. All right. We have now are corrupt senators who have to raise funds in order to get reelected, so they sell themselves out. They are political whores that actually sell themselves and their votes. If it was still to the point where the state legislature actually appointed the senators to serve the seats, who would the senators be responsible to? Directly to the states, because the state legislatures would have the authority, once somebody stepped out of line, to recall them and put someone else in their spot, and they would have to do the right thing for their state, not do whatever they wanted for their own lined pocketbook. Look at Harry Reid. He was born in essentially an adobe mud hut. In Searchlight, Nevada, the guy's worth tens of millions. All he's ever done is be a politician. How do you make that kind of money? By being corrupt.
Exactly.
That felt good. Wow, man. That headrush is coming down.
And, you know, people need to remember, there is, in the Declaration of Independence, for those of you who are educated through the government fool system, you really need to pay attention to the documents that people like Mr. Carnes and I hold so sacred, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of those ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing an invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new safeguards for their future security.
Bravo, Lee. Bravo. Lee, we're headed into the break in the next minute, so I want to thank you very much for calling in. Guys, here's the deal. We have to understand that tyranny comes in the form of legislation and enforcement. Legislation, meaning the stuff that's passed through both houses of Congress, and enforcement, meaning the interpretation of that legislation put into the regulatory law, the regulatory scheme, the illicit and illegal and unconstitutional fourth branch of the government. You don't seem to understand. We have had way, way too long of tyranny in this country through legislation. We need to shrug it off and get the right people in or change the system. Stay tuned. More to come after the break.
The American Dream, founded by men of honor, men of a creed once shared by most, and now all but forgotten. Men who risked their lives and perpetrated the most egregious acts of treason in history to create the United States of America. The Founding Fathers recognized that tyranny reigns over unarmed men, and they vowed to never allow that to happen here in the United States of America. Politicians of a lesser ilk have tried to subvert the right to self-protection, to protect your family and property. Until now, announcing America's Victory Shoots, the largest patriotic shooting event in generations, celebrating the Supreme Court's decision in McDonald versus Chicago, restoring the rights of all Americans across the land, from sea to shining sea. Right in the backyard of Chicago itself, America's Victory Shoot is for Americans who share the creed of our founding fathers. Join your countrymen in a celebratory weekend of shooting events and training for the protection of you and your family at the patriotic event of a generation. There's limited space, so go to victoryshoot.org to find out more and sign up today.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on!
All right, guys, welcome back. Now, the First Amendment is under attack by the judicial branch as well. Remember the whole freedom of the press? Well, two judges in Pennsylvania have signed orders demanding that two newspapers remove from their archives already published stories about several court case defendants, according to a report in one of the affected publications. One judge immediately promised to rescind the unpublished order when the furor over the whole censorship of the publication erupted. And the second judge took that action after meeting with other judges and the county's prosecutor. A report from the Censor Daily Times in State College, Pennsylvania confirmed. So they wrote the orders, and then when it got out, they rescinded them. But the search continued for several dozen other orders that apparently included the same censorship instructions for the newspapers. Now, reporter Sarah Ganim explained that the situation involved expungement orders signed by Center County judges Thomas King Kistler and Bradley P. Lunsford. Anti-American, anti-freedom of speech. Judges Thomas King Kistler, K-I-S-T-L-E-R, and Bradley P. Lunsford, L-U-N-S-F-O-R-D. The orders are routine for agencies such as police departments and others that handle court records relating to various crimes. The Daily Times report said that the orders are used to clear the files when cases against individuals are dismissed after they complete certain probation or diversion programs or when prosecutors voluntarily withdraw accusations. The orders were drawn up for the judges in cases involving clients of defense attorneys Joe Amendola, A-M-E-N-D-O-L-A, Joe Amendola, who told the Daily Times he added the names of the Daily Times and the local college publication, the Daily Collegian, to the orders prepared for the judge to sign because he believed his client's rights to clear records trumped the First Amendment. Really? Kistler told the newspaper he learned of the total of 41 such expungement orders were presented to the court by Amarola's office during the Daily Times and the Collegian of Penn State. The judge said they would be hunted down and changed as needed. Amendola raised questions, however. What's the sense in having your records expunged if anyone can Google you and it comes up? He told the newspaper. He said, while the First Amendment may offer protections to publications regarding public information, lawmakers should review instances such as those involving his client. Really? So the First Amendment is trumped by someone else's feelings. Unreal.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
I'm proud to say stay tuned for the Ernie Hancock Show coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.